guys. How's everyone this morning? Made it through the registration line. I just made it. Any writers in the room today? Cool. I'm Amy from Wattpad. I'm Amy from Wattpad, and Wattpad is the world's largest community of readers and writers, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about that today, and I'd love to hear any of your questions. And this is my first Dragon Con, and I'm really here to learn, you know, what writers want to see in sort of an internet platform tool, so please tell me after.
Good morning, Dragon Con! How are you doing? Ooh, yeah, a little caffeine! Yes, a little caffeine! All right. Let's be noisy and have a lot of fun. I'm Gail T. Martin. I write the Chronicles of the Necromancer series for Solaris Books and the Fallen King Cycle and Ascendant Kingdom Saga for Orbit Books. And I've got a brand new series I can't quite talk about yet coming out next summer. So lots of good stuff. In fact, also some of the hybrid model publishing that I'm also involved with is the new Clockwork Universe Steampunk versus Aliens, which just rocked its Kickstarter. And very excited about some of the new things that we're seeing coming out in publishing, both for aspiring authors, fan authors, and pro authors. So it's really a rapidly changing landscape, and that's what we're going to talk about. But I'll be the first to fess up and say, I started writing fan fiction when I was in middle school and high school, called it junior high back then, and it was some of my best memories. It's also what taught me that I could entertain people with my writing, and it was a wonderful motivation to keep at it because it was the first proof that I could actually do it. So I'm a big believer in getting your chops by going out there and doing it.
Agree. We see that a lot. People who start in fan fiction and eventually go on to write their own original fiction as well. I think it's an amazing jumping off point to sort of start creating worlds. I guess I'll kick it off, and I'm going to take you guys through a little bit about Wattpad and see if it sparks any questions, so please like jump in at any point in time. As I said, we're the world's largest community for reading and sharing stories. Has anyone heard of Wattpad before? Okay, not bad. you can think of Wattpad like the quick and easy is basically we are the YouTube of storytelling, or we are the YouTube of books. So we're kind of like the publishing system on speed. And what I mean is we're operating at web scale. So the same way that there are hundreds of hours of video uploaded to YouTube every day, we're seeing people spend about 4.3 billion minutes per month on our platform. So I really love this because, you know, people say about the internet, no one's reading anymore. It's all about the video. It's all about sort of the images. It's all about the sound. But people are still reading. They're just doing it in really interesting new ways, and mostly that's on their phone. You can see our stat here. 80% of this usage is coming on phones. So people are sort of quick and easy, bite-sized, digestible content when they're standing in line at the bank, when they're on the bus, when they're on the subway. Just more convenient reading that you're sort of always carrying with you at in the palm of your hand. Here's some of our sort of key stats. Again, it's the 4.3 billion minutes, and that's sort of doubling every 6 months. We see about 2 million uploads. Actually, it's probably out of date. We see about 2.5 million uploads every month. So people are adding about 80 or 90,000 new chapters to Wattpad every single day. And it's a really social platform, and I think that's sort of the evolution that we're seeing in the way people are reading and consuming. It's kind of going beyond the book to be this basically stream of content that people are engaging with. Writers are putting it out there, and it's a really interactive experience. Right now we're about 60 million monthly users, and that's doubling roughly every 6 months too. Our current base is skewing rather young. It's probably the majority of people are under 25 years old. But it's really cool because I think these are the people that are inventing the future of reading and writing, and they're along for the ride with us in this, and it's really cool. And we're also expanding now into sort of an older user base who are coming to us through more traditional fan fiction and through sci-fi, fantasy, all that stuff, and it's a lot of fun. The other cool thing about Wattpad is we're a truly global platform. If you look at the traditional publishing industry, it's like so focused in like sort of New York, London, really English speaking. Wattpad is now available in almost 30 languages, And we've seen stories uploaded from almost every country on Earth, which is just amazing. It's sort of like when you put this platform out there that gives people the opportunity to express themselves, they take advantage of it. It's almost like there was this pent-up desire before the internet for people to put their work out there and share it with others. And now we can realize that at web speed. It's really cool. Also, the mobile nature of it, I think, makes it more accessible. If you think about, like, Africa, people in countries there have sort of been bypassed by the PC revolution, so they didn't get in on sort of the early days of the internet, but now everyone there has a phone in their pocket, and they can still consume Wattpad on that, which is really, really empowering. We get messages from people in these rural villages in, you know, the middle of Africa, and they say, thank you for creating Wattpad. We can't afford a library. We don't have books in our town. But we'll gather around our phone and read. And obviously that's not really what the creators of Wattpad had in mind when they invented the service, but it's just like a really beautiful thing to see the way people are using the platform to share their work and sort of engage around really great stories. So it's really fun. Our big vision is basically a new reading and writing experience that enables the creation of personal connections and billions of new stories. We want there to be billions of stories out there. We want anyone who has a story to tell to be able to express it and to be able to find people and connect with people through that story. And it seems like a basic mission, but it's really, really cool to see what the power of of the internet and of community can do around books. So, like I said before, we're kind of like this evolution of the book. If you look at the difference probably between us and the experience of reading on an e-reader like a Kindle, it's the social experience. So we are combining mobile, social, and e-reading, and it truly is a new form of entertainment. We're sort of existing in the publishing space, and the way I like to frame it is, when YouTube came along, it didn't replace the traditional sort of TV video industry. It's just operating within the same ecosystem, and that's where we are. There's the traditional book publishing space, but we're adding this new online, mobile-first element around reading and writing. There's only a certain number of like traditional media types, so you can see when these media types, like let's say images or video or audio, when they move to digital, they're kind of centralized around one platform. We want to do that for stories, and we want to build a global community, and we are building a global community. Why Wattpad works for today's reader as well as writers is you have this incredible free library in your hand where you can go as niche into your interests as you want. It's personalized. You can kind of think of us sitting at this intersection between Amazon recommendations and Facebook sort of social graphs, so we can really understand what people want to read and serve them up these really personalized recommendations. And it's a really exciting experience. We've got teams of data scientists, and we're doing machine learning around this to really be able to surface up the right content to people, and we're kind of just getting started, and we see a lot of really interesting potential for where it's going to go. And it's a social experience, and I mean, I think that's the beauty of fan fiction. It's like the community and the connections that people have around it. Again, we're doing that at like massive web scale and trying to really understand how we can build our product to enable sort of all the beautiful things that happen around fandoms and fan communities and fan fiction, and really bring that to a phone and keep elevating sort of the process. Just show you this super quick video on sort of the product experience so you kind of get a sense of what I'm talking about. This is just a really quick run through on our Android app, which doesn't seem to be totally showing up there. But you have this library in your pocket, new types of stories, more content from amateur aspiring writers, lots of A-list authors are using the platform to engage in new ways, you get your own profile, you can interact with friends, and just a quick demo there, which didn't quite show. So yeah, Margaret Atwood is using Wattpad to serialize new work, to reach her fans in a new way. Cory Doctorow, who's obviously a big advocate for Creative Commons and open access, is sharing his work on Wattpad. Amanda Hawking has recently joined, and I think it's really interesting that she's essentially, you know, one of the biggest case studies of success in the self-published industry, but she's still finding ways to make Wattpad work for her when she's sharing her work. And Paulo Coelho, obviously, is one of the biggest selling authors of all time, and he's been sharing stories with us in both English and Portuguese, which is really cool. It's a new way for him to connect with his readers and make new fans around the world. This is one of my favorite stories about Wattpad. This is Jordan, and she lives just outside of Boston. She's just starting university this year. She is I call her the Justin Bieber of Wattpad. She has 90,000 fans on the platform. This is outdated as well. She has 100 million reads of the 7 or 8 stories that she's posted on Wattpad. And again, just fans are loving what she's doing, and she's essentially our breakout celebrity success story. I don't think she would even really necessarily have any indication that the publishing industry existed. Her world is on Wattpad, and she's one of our homegrown net native stars. She writes YA. So it's interesting. Jordan Lind? Yeah. This is Abigail Gibbs. She's in the UK. She was one of the first... She's been with us for a long time on Wattpad. She started out, I think, writing on Wattpad when she was 14 or 15 years old. Just last year, she secured a 6-figure deal with Random House in the UK after her stories were read almost 20 million times on Wattpad. So she was the youngest writer ever to be published in the UK, which is really amazing. She's got a ton of media coverage. We have, like, a number of these case studies of writers on Wattpad who've gone on to be published after putting their work up and sort of building their fan base in advance, which is really, really cool. And to the fan fiction, this is, like, another thing that I'm just, like, completely excited about on Wattpad. For a long time, we were sort of focused on the traditional genres of writing, you know, like romance has been huge, sci-fi, fantasy, all that stuff. But it's the explosion of fan fiction that we really can't ignore, and we're really trying to learn a lot more about so we can, you know, build things into our product to support fan fiction. For the past 2 years, it's been our fastest growing genre. So far already in 2013, it's up 60% over what it was in 2012, and now there's 4.6 million pieces of fan fiction on Wattpad, and it's just growing every day. Some of these stories have over 10 million reads. I think some are closer to 20 million now. This is sort of the evolution that we're seeing in fan fiction, and I've been calling it pop fic, and it's this real person fan fiction, and this is like where the real explosion is happening. Like, look at these numbers of stories of, like, One Direction. It's just, like, almost 400,000 stories. It's incredible. But I also see this as sort of like a continuation of the remix culture that's happening on the internet. It's basically, you know, the same way people go to SoundCloud to remix audio files, or the same way sort of people are mashing up videos on YouTube. It's sort of this real world celebrity culture with the written word mashup that we're seeing on Wattpad, and it's really interesting. And again, I think it also goes to, while there are a lot of aspiring writers on Wattpad who want to be published, and we can really help to support that, most people are using the platform just as a form of self-expression, and these are the things that they want to talk about and write about. This is another one that I think is just, like, the kind of insight that our platform gives us is really interesting. I don't know if you guys know who any of these faces are. They're probably not familiar. These are fan fictions written about YouTube celebrities. So... And, again, I think it's just this whole new world that is just happening so quickly. Yeah. but celebrities who we wouldn't even necessarily know the name of, but these are people who have fan bases in the millions on YouTube, and now we're seeing expression around that through sort of narrative layers on Wattpad. And it's this whole social cycle that happens. Follow the star on YouTube, sort of fall in love with them, write a story about them on Wattpad, share it on Twitter. That's sort of just the stream I have over here on the side, but it's just this vicious loop of celebrity culture, and it's happening at warp speed, and I don't think we'll ever totally understand it, but it's really, really cool to see what's happening and what young people are writing about these days. This is a slide I usually show when, like, we're talking to a publishing industry audience, and they might not know sort of the diversity that is in fan fiction. But these are the kind of things that, again, we want to work to build into our product and to be able to support. So, you know, these are these are the ways people want to discover the content and they want to engage with it, and we're trying to make that as easy as possible for readers and for writers. So you guys are probably all familiar with fanfiction.net. We're essentially fanfiction.net, but from, I'd say, an evolution of that in terms of more in line with the current social networking that's happening. So models similar to Facebook and to Twitter, where you can follow your favorite writer and you can get updates through your news feed. This is sort of what's powering our discovery and our recommendations for what's up to read next. Through this slide in there, too, I don't know if it's, I thought it might be interesting to this audience. We work really closely with Margaret Atwood, and I think it's really interesting. You know, she's sort of a legend in the sci-fi speculative fiction realm, and she really supports what we're doing because she's a big advocate that, you know, if young people aren't reading and writing now, it's going to be a pretty bleak future for all of us. And she sort of ties it into her whole theory around democracy and sort of, you know, just protecting ourselves in the future and ensuring that learning is still going on. So it's great to have sort of a legend like that in our corner to learn from. But we also have a lot of passionate sci-fi fans who are really evolving things and building out their own community, and it's really cool to see people having millions and millions of reads of their work across sci-fi and fantasy, and those are the this is the community that's really coming on strong, too. And I think, yeah, so again, sort of back to the targeting that we can do. If you're a writer coming onto Wattpad, we can really help to get your work in front of the right people through sort of our back-end algorithm recommendation system. And you can learn a lot about who's reading your story on a chapter-by-chapter basis, so it's almost like this sort of Google Analytics for you as a writer, which is really interesting. Well, there's feedback through the commenting, so every time you post a chapter, I would, if I'm following you, I would get a push notification on my phone, which I think is really cool. It's like, hey, my favorite writer just updated a story. It's an amazing experience. So I can comment on your story. I can comment on your profile. I can private message you. I can share your work with my friends. So again, it's this whole viral loop that's happening around the content.
You know, I want to jump on a couple of things you've said.
For
sure. Because I think it's very, very exciting. One thing is the amount of time people are spending with Wattpad. Now, if you are doing anything with the internet, whether it's attracting people to your Facebook page or running a website or posting a blog, you know that stickiness is one of the most important things. You want people not only to come to your site, but you want them to hang around. You want them to stay there. And you've got amazing stickiness, which is great. The other thing is it's really all about building relationships and community. You know, that's why writers come to cons like this, besides the fact that we're fans, too, and we get our fangirl, fanboy moments, you know, seeing the stars just like everybody else. But it's really about that relationship building, that chance to actually talk with readers, meet new readers, have other people meet you, and renew those relationships that you make, you know, that you've made before and you see people at every con. You continue that online, and that's what has been behind the success of other sites like Goodreads and some of the other fanfic forums that have been around for a while, is that relationship, because you can't count that everybody in your small town or everybody in your school or everybody where you work reads the same kind of stuff. I think most of us have had an experience where we're the only person we know who likes this author. Mm-hmm. And before the internet, unless you could get to a con, you were kind of stuck. I remember the first time I went to a convention, I was about 18, and I was just so blown away by the fact that other people besides me and my two best friends read any of these books and knew what we were talking about. It was just amazing. So having that ongoing ability to share, to comment, to have real-time feedback with the author, to interact, to be part of the experience is really powerful and amazing, and it's managed to take reading, which is very much of a one-person solo activity, and turn it into more of a social activity. And that's exciting, because it's the interactivity that is really going to, I think, have a lot to do with the future of reading. So I'm really excited by what I'm hearing from you about the Wattpad. But I got to ask,
sure.
what are the right situations with Wattpad? Because anybody who's beyond maybe just, gee, I wrote the story, can't wait to get it out, being able to say, you know, I want to share it with people, but I'd still like to own it. So what are the rights like?
Sure. That's an amazing question. Basically, with Wattpad, and this is fundamental to who we are and who we want to be, if you upload your work to Wattpad, the rights always remain with you as an author. So you are free to do whatever you want with your work, and that is also means you can take it down at any point in time.
So it doesn't have to be Creative Commons?
It can be Creative Commons,
but it doesn't have to.
Yeah.
Okay. And that means that basically it's no different than having shared, say, Person with American Non-Exclusive Rights. In other words, you can put it on Wattpad, but it can also go other places.
Definitely. We see, anecdotally, we know there are a lot of editors, agents, publishers who have Wattpad accounts and who are definitely scouting for talent. I think we're probably up around about 10 people now who've been signed by some of the big six major publishers after being discovered on Wattpad and sort of building their fan bases there. And many, many, many writers who've gone on to be signed by sort of the smaller publishers or the more niche sort of genre-focused publishers. So that's right, yeah.
And that brings up a good idea, you know, a really interesting concept that I'm hearing in what you're saying, which is, you know, you've kind of got a two-layer writer community here. One is the folks who are writing the fan fiction.
Sure.
They're having a lot of fun with this. This is a social activity, and that's a great way to get started, whether you are only in it to do that or whether you've got bigger aspirations. Mm-hmm. But for folks who may already have dipped a toe in the publishing world, whether it's with a small press or an anthology, but have their eye on bigger prizes, this would be a great way to build their audience.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
All right. We talked about fan fiction a bit. What about nonfiction, for instance? How's Wattpad's community?
Nonfiction hasn't been a big focus for us, so mostly genre fiction and fan fiction is where our focus is now, and that's where we're really looking to build our community.
So as an author of a fan fiction who got a cease and desist letter from the creator, what do you do to protect the fan fiction authors? Because you just said that there's authors and editors and publishers out there. Mm-hmm. If I'm putting my fanfic on there, I've gotten a cease and desist letter, and it was one of the most stressful things I've gone through. So what are you guys doing to protect the author of the fanfiction?
Yeah, for us, we haven't really encountered a lot of that sort of reaction from people from rights holders or from the property owners. So, again, for us, it's sort of, we will definitely, you know, take a stand that what we're doing is sort of encouraging this explosion of fan fiction, and, you know, the way that we're framing things basically is, you know, to these people is your fans are your biggest advocates. And I think we've seen a sea change in it a lot over just the past couple of years. I'm sure there are still some writers or some sort of film rights holders who are not acknowledging the power of the fan and driving it as a marketing tool. And I think that's sort of where the education needs to come in around it. So, basically for us, if there's anything that's copyright infringing, that's not what or plagiarism, we sort of take those things down. But in general, we try to advocate for sort of like the free speech that people have around fan, like derivative or the transformative work, definitely.
And let me kind of jump in on that as a traditionally published author. The thing that you can't ever forget about fan fiction is that legally it is copyright infringement. Mm-hmm. I mean, you exist as a fanfic writer with any of the properties at the patience of the rights holder, because that is their livelihood. And I think you're less likely to get a cease and desist from some of the bigger franchises, the Harry Potters, the Twilights, the TV shows and movies, because you pose less of a threat to their livelihood. For a living author who is still writing in that universe, there are all kinds of potential legal pitfalls to not protecting their copyright with fan fiction. And some people toe a harder line on that than others. You'll hear some folks like Chelsea Quinn Yarborough, who will absolutely send you a cease and desist if you write about her characters. You hear about other folks who will say, you know, I see it as a version of marketing. But I think we've also heard stories about the creator of a series
having to spend tens of thousands of dollars in legal defense because somebody pops up and says, oh, I wrote a story about a boy wizard too, and so, J.K. Rowling, you owe me. So there are issues on both sides, but when you write fan fiction, that is part of a landscape, is somebody else owns it, and you are really getting to write about it and play in their universe. It's kind of like coming over to their house. They do have the right to ask you to get off the lawn at any time if they want to.
It's really interesting. I think that's the one we see the most, is sort of just a fear around lawsuits, litigation from people claiming that they invented Harry Potter, that they invented the Hunger Games. I think that's probably sort of the last hurdle that a lot of people are sort of just a bit hesitant to jump in and fully embrace fan
fiction. But I think that the fact that conventions like this exist is a nod that quite a large population understands.
Definitely.
That fans dressing up in costume, taking the series further, extending the life of series like Firefly, that's the lifeblood of fandom. So it's an interesting balance.
Definitely, and I think it's just amplified again sort of by these online social platforms. You could look at it sort of the same way people are sharing fan art on DeviantArt or on Tumblr. And I think sort of with the internet, once you let the genie out of the bottle, it's really hard to stuff it back in. And my personal line of thinking is that I think everyone's going to come around eventually to embrace this, and if you don't, you're kind of going to get left behind.
Yeah, and it's kind of, it actually brings up, kind of segues into the next point I was going to ask, which is the whole fear of piracy.
Yeah.
You know, when my newest novel, Ice Forged, came out, within 24 hours of it being available in bookstores, it was on torrent. You know, go figure.
Only 24 hours?
Only 24. Yeah, I guess there was some. I don't know. Maybe on the next one. Maybe that's the new trend, the new benchmark. But it is interesting because there's some folks like Corey who will say piracy is the highest form of flattery. It's
yeah.
really just marketing, and run with it. And then there's the very logical way of saying, wow, if there were this many torrent downloads and this many, you know, BitTorrents, how much money did that take out of my account? Mm-hmm. So there's another one of those balances. What's, have any of your authors been worried about piracy from putting their work out there, especially if they are otherwise unpublished?
Yeah, I think people worry about it from a piracy and from a plagiarism perspective. So we have a really engaged community team that responds to a lot of these complaints. So if someone can prove to us that their work has been pirated, we can take it down off the site really, really quickly. And we like to react to that as fast as possible. Piracy was a big problem on Wattpad when we first got started. Wattpad's actually been around since 2006. So if you think back to that time, there's no iPhone, there's no Kindle. But over the past number of years, we've been really building out our back-end filtering system so we can know if something's plagiarized from a major publishing house. And then sort of we do the manual side of things if Gail comes and she says, hey, this is my book, but it's under, OneDirectionFanFiction.com or something.
that would be a stretch.
Yeah, no, but we can take that down pretty quickly on Wattpad.
Now, you know, one of the things that I'm really excited about, and you haven't mentioned it yet, is the whole crowdfunding capability.
Yeah.
You know, so many of us on the pro side of things are venturing into Kickstarter endeavors because it's a great way to fund anthologies, and it's a great way to fund some of the projects that may fall under the radar of, you know, your publisher isn't enthusiastic about doing it, but they say, hey, go knock yourself out if you can make it work. That's fine. We won't care. So, and I'm seeing it enable people to bring out some work that otherwise just wouldn't be in the marketplace. So what's Wattpad doing with that?
Yeah, about 6 weeks ago, we recently launched an experiment around fan funding. And we use the word fan very deliberately as opposed to crowdfunding. What we were trying to learn basically was, will the fans on Wattpad that these writers have built up, will they support the fans without these guys having to take their work and go to a Kickstarter or to an Indiegogo. So basically, you know, we have both the interactive, we have the content that people are really engaged around, but we also have the fan bases existing on Wattpad. So we thought it was a logical step that, you know, you don't have to go to Indiegogo and sort of do a big call out to a non-existent tribe, sort of, I'll use the Seth Godin language around this. Your tribe is on Wattpad. Will they support you? And some of the models we've been testing are, will your fans support you to continue writing on Wattpad, the books that they've been reading for the past 4 or 5 years, you know, that they've been really engaged with and they have this emotional connection to you around? Will fans support you to self-publish your work? And will fans support you to traditionally publish your work? So we're running these experiments currently. And so far the feedback's been really great. We've got 2 projects successfully funded, and we've got another one currently ongoing, and it looks like it's going to meet its target. And we're launching 2 more projects next week. That will be sort of, the model is basically there'll be pre-orders for a published work to get the Wattpad writer's work published. So again, we've built this really dense social graph of readers and writers, and the strong point around that is it's all based on emotion. If I'm following you, I see the development of your work, I'm getting updates from you weekly or monthly, and I'm really engaged with what you want to do. So we're exploring that as one revenue model for how we might be able to, A, share the value of our platform with writers, because that's always been really, really important to us, and B, just, is this a revenue model that can be helpful for Wattpad going forward?
Now, if somebody uses that fan-funded platform, are there restrictions about the work that it supports? In other words, does it have to stay on Wattpad for a particular amount of time? Is it exclusive to Wattpad? Are there any strings attached?
That's one thing that we have been working towards, is that this work will stay on Wattpad after the completion of the program. Right now, when writers who go and are traditionally published, they have been taking their work down at Wattpad, which I think is off Wattpad, sorry, which is, I guess, just like one of the last vestiges of the traditional publishing industry. So what we're trying to do is create an ecosystem where sort of the work can exist on Wattpad in almost a draft format, and then through the fan funding, you can take your story and you can evolve it with the help of an editor or cover designer, and then have the distribution channels that may be self-publishing or traditional publishing.
But those restrictions only apply if it's fan-funded, not
exactly.
If
yeah.
You just start.
These are the just sort of the test cases that we're working on right now.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Now, I'm curious, you've got fan fiction about certainly the traditional movies, TVs,
sure.
books, YouTube videos. Does anybody, just occurred to me, does anybody write fan fiction based on the video games?
Yeah, definitely.
I've got a son
definitely.
Who's a major gamer, and I can so see that happening.
Definitely.
This is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there.
One of the trends that I'm really interested in is we're seeing a lot of fan fiction written about apps and Angry Birds fanfic. I should have put that picture in there. I'm not lying. And also through the language of apps. So, you know, I'm not sure if you're familiar with maybe WhatsApp or Kik, these messenger style chats, or even like we have fan fiction about Snapchat. But kids are actually writing stories formatted like it would be a Kik messenger conversation. So it's really an evolution in the way people are communicating and expressing themselves and formatting stories.
Now,
sorry?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. People kind of hack our tool. I know our writing system, our writing interface is not super robust, but they're kind of making it happen. There's like just like bold italics and.
Well, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've got to ask, how do you deal with slash fiction? Because here's the funny story. I'm here with my husband and my 14-year-old son. My son's looking down my panel. My panelist goes, "Oh God, Mom, you're on a fanfic panel. You write porn?" And I was like, "No." He said, "But that's what fanfic. It's all like, you know, Sirius and Hermione, and it's like he's been on the internet way too much.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, no, it doesn't have to be. He said, really, Mom? You haven't been on the interwebs lately. It's all that stuff. I said, no, really it isn't, and no, that's not the panel. But certainly Slash is a big part of fanfic. So is it on Wattpad? Is it welcome? And where do you go with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely welcome, and, you know, we appreciate that that's a big part of the sort of traditions of fanfiction, and we definitely see it happening again at scale every single day. Basically, we have a content ratings policy. Something can be rated R public, but it can also be rated R private. So anything that's on the extreme of more steamy will be welcome on Wattpad, as long as it's not, you know, sort of infringing on, like, hate speech or, like, actual pornography. But if something gets set to R private, you can only share it if you have the link to it. So it's not discoverable in our search engine, and it won't show up in our What's Hot list, but it would... I can't touch that one. That would be in our private on our site currently. So definitely. Yeah,
well,
my son
will be very relieved.
I was wondering.
We do have our private stories that are very, very popular. Tens of millions of reads, so they are getting discovered. They're just not subscribed.
Do you think you're going to end up competing with this new thing that Amazon has come up with, their Amazon Worlds, if it gets going?
I see Amazon Worlds as being pretty restrictive, and we're almost the opposite. We want to encourage people to do these crossovers, to do these mashups, to be able to mix worlds. So I think they're treating the content from the worlds as almost like a commodity, but for us, again, our perspective on fan fiction is it's your most passionate fans engaging in new ways, and it should be encouraged, again, like as a form of marketing, basically.
My take on what I've seen so far on Amazon Worlds? Yeah.
Yeah, it's very small.
But it's also apparently, you know, pre-approved by the, you know, in other words, you can only write in these sandboxes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for sure. I wouldn't underestimate it at all.
But the other thing to consider as a content creator, as a writer, is that Amazon is kind of grabby. You know, it's one thing if you're going on Amazon through the auspices of a traditional publisher. But I also bring out two series of self-published direct-to-ebook short stories based on two of my book series. And it's really interesting reading through those contracts and what they grab for and what they want from you. So writers who actually read the terms and conditions, and I would suggest you do that because it's why my short stories aren't on iBooks, may really still flock to a Wattpad if you guys aren't grabbing.
Yeah, I think the social experience around it is also kind of missing from the Kindle world. It's like, yeah, I can buy this and I can load it on my Kindle, but then it goes back to it's a solitary experience. I think, you know, the beauty of fan fiction is the ability to engage and to sort of have these conversations and share around these stories. So I think that's one thing that sort of differentiates us, or the major thing. So.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on that. With Kindle Worlds, let's assume for a moment that it does become very successful.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that spurring a lot of new legal challenges to copyright and stuff like that? Because, you know, if suddenly some of the big publishing, some of the big groups, some of the big, you know, fiction draws are tapping this entirely whole new revenue source from Kindle Worlds, that could very easily start all the others looking at, well, why am I not making money off of all the fanfiction being written from my work?
I think the revenue piece is really the sticking point, because when no one's deriving revenue from fan fiction, it really is a form of crowdsourced marketing for your product, your movie. When someone else who didn't create the premise begins making revenue off it, now you're crossing licensing lines, you're crossing rights lines. And that, I think, is going to be a sticking point, because if the creators of the series, the premise, the characters can't derive revenue from what becomes of their own creation, there's less and less reason to create. I mean, you do have to still hold on to that if you want to make a living and pay your mortgage. So I think that anything that is revenue-derived is probably going to run into some legal issues there. And from my standpoint, that's how I make my living. So I would say, yeah. You've been very patient back there.
And you'll have to excuse this question. It's kind of self-focused. I'm a historian, and I'm very interested in the digital traces that we leave behind. And you were talking about stories coming down, and I'm just curious, do you still archive those stories somewhere, or when they're taken down, are they gone forever? So if, for example, we wanted to trace the development of a particular author, and they take down all their earlier stories, that record would be lost, or is it somewhere still?
I really like that question. We kind of wrestle with it, and we've gone back and forth on it just in terms of sort of our philosophy around it. If you post a story and I download it to my phone, whose property is it at that point, right? If you press delete, should Wattpad go into your phone and delete that story? Currently, we are doing that. We're respecting the wishes of the writers to no longer have their content on Wattpad.
And that is really one of the interesting things. Last year, I was on an ebook panel, and we were talking about how ebooks change the book ownership model. For example, you know, most of the time when you buy an ebook, when you download it to your Kindle or from iTunes, you've got a license for that. But you can't leave your library to your descendants if you die.
Right.
And the whole notion of things like first edition books goes out the window, because what's the difference between a first edition ebook and a 420th edition ebook? So it changes a lot about the book ownership world, and everything becomes a little more like a library copy. As somebody who is still in the middle of getting rid of about 2,000 books from my father's estate, yeah, I hear you on that. It is, but I have another full-time job, which is writing books. Well, and I think anybody who hangs out over here in the electronic forums track knows that nothing is ever gone from the internet if you know where to look. So that's a good thing and a bad thing. One quick question before we get too far afield. I also saw some interesting things about Wattpad's writer partnership. Can you fill us in a little bit on that?
Yeah, sure. We have a featured writers program at Wattpad, and basically what we will do is we will prominently feature completed stories on Wattpad for a six-month period if people agree to leave them up there in full on Wattpad. We found in our community, because there's so much content, that excerpts don't really work for our audience. You know, it's like, oh, why am I going to engage with this for just a couple of chapters when there's millions of free complete books and stories on Wattpad. So that's why we encourage writers to use work to give away content as, again, a form of marketing for themselves. I think what it really works best is if you have a series, and we're seeing a lot of writers who have perhaps a trilogy put the first book up, again, as a hook to drive people to read and to purchase their the other books in the series on Amazon or on iBooks or wherever. Very much original works for a featured writers program.
I have a question related to her question about the history.
Sure.
And authors
sure,
removing
sure.
their works. I'm familiar with other sites like fanfiction.net
sure.
and some others that either have a feature or encourage the ability to download a story for offline reading
mm-hmm.
in a text or EPUB format.
Yeah.
And that I save works from authors who sometimes later go in and in a moment of emotion delete their works and disappear from the internet
yeah.
forever. Does Wattpad have a feature that allows you to download for offline reading?
All the Wattpad content is consumed within sort of the container of the Wattpad app, so you can't download it as a PDF to your computer. We also, like on the web, will disable copy and paste, so I couldn't go in, copy your story, paste it, and then download it for my own viewing or just to, you know, pass it off as my own. So that's a form of sort of protection for a writer's work. Again, because the rights remain with the writers on Wattpad, we don't allow people to download it, or we don't syndicate it out to other channels without anyone's permission. In a way.
How do you deal with trolls?
That's a good question,
because, you know, everybody is continually evolving, and when you start out especially, you're so vulnerable because writing is always coming from the heart.
Yeah.
And it's so important for new writers to be getting good feedback, positive feedback when at all possible, constructive feedback, but nobody needs trolls. So how do you deal with trolls? A troll is somebody who just gets on to be nasty. And you've run into them if you've been online. They're the
people who leave comments at the bottom of a YouTube video.
Yeah, they're the asshats who just make the world miserable for everybody else.
Yeah, for us, this is a major, major area of focus. From day one, we've always set out to create a positive community. And I think by sort of actively working in the early days of an online community to shape it, this is the type of behavior, this is the type of sort of feedback that we're going to encourage and we're going to promote, and here's what we're not going to accept. We've been able to foster a really, really positive community. And I think it's really beautiful when you compare it to a forum like YouTube, sorry. It's almost the complete opposite. And we get that a lot when we go to tech events and sort of, you know, we get these sort of really tech-focused people who are like, how have you guys created such a positive community? But if you look at the comments on most of the Wattpad stories, they're all, when are you going to upload the next chapter? I love this. Good writing. Here's some feedback on your character development. We have one of our biggest teams outside of our engineering sort of developer teams is our community team. And we're monitoring the community, and we're responding to people who report inappropriate comments, and sort of, I'd say, mediating between these sort of troll battles that sometimes do break out. But anything that is hateful or hurtful, we take it down immediately. And the community is really self-policing in itself, and it almost becomes like this self-fulfilling sort of trend of what behavior is expected and accept it. It's interesting, and we think a lot about it, and we worry a lot about it. You know, it's a lot easier to police it when you're at a couple hundred thousand people, when you're at a few million people, but, you know, our eventual goal is to get to 50 million people to 100 million people, and we're always thinking about ways how we can still foster this positivity and encouragement within the community. So a lot of that can even come from product design decisions. Probably the easiest way to equate it is on Tumblr, where you can sort of, you can't comment, you can only reblog, or you can only like something. Like, we're building these positive interactions into the community. You can vote on a story, that sort of thing. Yeah, and the author has control, too, of what they want to have on their profile or on their work. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Both. So most of our traffic comes through our mobile apps for iPhone and for Android, and then also very active on the web as well. Yeah.
You had mentioned that a lot of your beginning traffic and current traffic is kind of skewed toward YA.
Yeah.
Do you see that broadening out?
Yeah, definitely. I think sci-fi and fantasy is one of the places where the writers there have formed this really tight-knit community, and as it continues to grow, they're, again, shaping the behavior. But we're seeing breakout stars now in sci-fi and in sort of these fantasy categories, which is really interesting. Romance is overall our biggest category as well, so there's a lot of romance writers who are finding success with us. We've recently done a few partnerships with Harlequin, so publishers are taking notice again of all this sort of stuff. So, yeah, it's happening.
And we probably have time for about one more question. Yeah.
Sorry. I just wanted to make a quick comment. I'm an indie author. And I use Wattpad for feature works. And the feature program is really great. And I recently wrote an article on using Wattpad as an indie author. So How to win followers and influence readers on WhatsApp.
Cool. What's your name?
David Alistair Hayden.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, wow. Caitlin.
Yeah.
So it's been really great as an indie author to serialize my work. And then I have a chapter each week, and they beg me for more, and then all the books are for sale. So, and then I did feature
after it was complete.
Yeah, I'm doing book two now. And I know most authors are sort of like you do book two as an excerpt after you do book one, but I'm serializing book two sort of as an experiment.
Most writers do choose to serialize on Wattpad, and I think that's an interesting sort of mechanic that is built into our platform, and it really does drive engagement. Someone will usually pick a specific day of the week. I don't know if that's how you did it, but then I can know every Saturday David's going to update the story, and I can't wait. I'll get the push notification, and then sort of I'll be able to read it that day. And then it just becomes, again, it reinforces that feedback loop. So your fans or your followers are always sort of getting these little nudges. Hey, check out the story. The story's in your library waiting for you. It's really cool, too, because the stories are constantly expanding. You might have had a set number of chapters, but we see stories just continuing on forever, and that's a really interesting model as well. So, like, your favorite book, your favorite story never has to end in a way. So see where it goes. Yeah.
That's very cool.
Last comment. If anyone wants to chat after, I'm definitely going to hang around, and I'd love your feedback on what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong and what we should be building in the future. So thanks.
And I have a reading at 4:00, and please come. I'll be doing a drawing for a free copy of Iceforged, but we'll also be previewing some of the new books and the new short stories. So please do come by. I'd love to see you.